ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. فقال سبحانه وتعالى: سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال: بيت المقدس بنته الأنبياء وعمرته، وما فيه موضع شبر إلا وقد سجد عليه نبي. وعن كعب رحمه الله أنه قال: إن ببيت المقدس 1000 قبر من قبور الأنبياء. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من زار بيت المقدس محتسبا أعطاه الله أجر 1000 شهيد. وفي رواية: حرم الله لحمه وجسده على النار. وعن الحسن البصري رحمه الله أنه قال: من تصدق في بيت المقدس بدرهم كان له براءة من النار. فقال سبحانه وتعالى: لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا ولتجدن أقربهم مودة للذين آمنوا الذين قالوا إنا نصارى ذلك بأن منهم قسيسين ورهبانا وأنهم لا يستكبرون. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: وليبعثن عليهم إلى يوم القيامة من يسومهم سوء العذاب إن ربك لسريع العقاب وإنه لغفور رحيم. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ولعنه وأعد له عذابا عظيما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو أن أهل السماء والأرض اشتركوا في دم مؤمن أكبهم الله في النار. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمنون كرجل واحد، إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله، وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان في حاجة أخيه كان الله في حاجته، ومن فرج عن مؤمن كربة فرج الله عنه كربة من كربات يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected مشايخ، my respected علماء، my respected elders، my brothers، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Listen to what the article says. The article reads: the death of the young boy Adurra in front of the world's cameras has brought home to everyone the dreadful and arrogant nature of the Israeli regime.
And it's racist disregard for the worth of all non-Israeli lives, young or old. What we have witnessed is no less than a state sanctioned terrorism against a civilian population. The article reads, I had just been shot by the Israelis in my right leg. My son Muhammad, age 12, hid behind me and gripped my arm. He didn't stop crying. He was terrified. He pleaded with me, for the love of God, protect me, Baba. I told him that when the shooting let up, we'd get away. I tried to calm him. But all the time he kept saying, Baba, I'm afraid. I want to go home. 5 minutes later, I was hit in the leg again. A third bullet hit me in the stomach. I made every effort to protect Muhammad. I called on the soldiers to stop shooting, and I raised my hands. Then Muhammad was shot in the chest. He said to me, Baba, don't worry. I'll be all right until the ambulance comes. But after 3 minutes, he stopped talking and died. The soldiers continued to shoot. Another bullet hit me in the leg. Only after 3/4 of an hour did they stop shooting. And an ambulance took us to the hospital. But Muhammad wasn't alive anymore. I'm sure you've all read this article before. Another article, it reads, letter written with blood reveals that Muslim women are being kept without clothes in prison. If Muslims exist on the face of this earth, then it is binding on them to save the Muslim women whom the Russian forces have kept in prisons without their clothes. These words are from a letter written to the Muslim world by a Chechen youth being held in prison by the Russians. This letter has been written in blood, as its writer didn't have anything else to write it with. The brave and bold youth who put his life at risk in writing this letter wrote these above mentioned words twice. At the end of these lines, he wrote that he has run out of his ink and has no more blood to write. This Chechen youth must have thought, just maybe his blood will have the power to awaken the insensitive and callous Muslims of the world to the plight of Chechen Muslims, you and I. A Muslim writer writes in his work Salahul Ummah fi Ulu al-Himmah, he writes, with regards to what happened in Bosnia, fathers were slaughtered in front of their sons. Young girls and women incapable of defending themselves were forced to take intoxicants, and they were injected with the blood of khinzir before they are raped. A Muslim woman dies. A Serbian soldier has intercourse sinka. She's still warm, I can still do it. Thousands are slaughtered like goats. They are slaughtered with electric saws, and the masajid and roads are decorated with their heads. Final article. This is what the newspaper reporters saw. Lauren Jenkins wrote, the scene at the Shatila camp when foreign observers entered on Saturday morning was like a nightmare. Women wailed over their deaths of loved ones. Bodies began to swell under the hot sun, and the streets were littered with thousands of spent cartridges. Houses had been dynamited and bulldozed into rubble. Many were the inhabitants inside. Groups of bodies lay before bullet pocket walls where they appeared to have been executed. Others were strewn in alleys and streets, apparently shut as they tried to escape. Photographers Ralph and Maya Shaw write, when we entered, we saw bodies everywhere. We photographed victims that had been mutilated with axes and knives. Continues. Others had their heads smashed, their eyes removed, their throats cut. Skin was stripped from their bodies and limbs were severed. You can keep on reading. Pick up the Times and you will see the article there. Pick up the Independent and you will see the articles there. Pick up the tabloids and you will see the articles there. Listen to the BBC or the News at 10 or the World News and you will hear the same story. You can keep on reading. I assure you, your life will come to an end. But articles like this, describing these atrocities against the Muslims, describing the so-called ethnic cleansing of the Muslims, will never come to an end. And it is these articles that are telling me today. The situation of the Muslims worldwide is telling me. The situation of Muslims in Bosnia, the situation of Muslims in Chechnya, the situation of Muslims in Palestine, the situation of Muslims in Kashmir and Pakistan, the situation of Muslims in the Russian state, the situation of Muslims in Hindustan, the situation of our brothers, our mothers and our sisters in different parts of the globe. Their situation is telling me today that a Muslim today is someone who has no respect. A Muslim today is someone who has no honor, someone who has no dignity, someone who has no value whatsoever. Today, in the 21st century, in the land of the kafir, animals have rights. Monkeys and dogs have rights. Donkeys have rights. Mules and cats have rights. But a Muslim is not eligible for a single right. A Muslim does not have the right to life. He has no right to property. He has no right to freedom. Whether this freedom be of speech, whether this freedom be of movement, a Muslim doesn't have the right to walk on the face of this earth. Why? Because he is the lowest of the low. He is the scum of the earth. You can walk all over a Muslim. You can trump over a Muslim. You can trod all over him. You can oppress him. You can swear at him. You can rebuke and revile him. You can spit on his ugly face and urinate all over it and cover his face with filth. A Muslim is so cheap that you can enslave his mother. You can enslave his sister. You can enslave his daughter. And you can put collars around their necks and take them for walkies like dogs. You can rape them and take kafir children out of their pure stomach. These articles are telling me, the situation of the Muslims worldwide is telling me that today a Muslim is somebody whose blood is so cheap that you do not need a reason for killing him. His blood is so filthy that you can kill him without a reason. You will be rewarded for obliterating him. You will be rewarded for removing him from the face of this earth. You can mutilate his body. You can sever his head from his neck. You can sever his hands from his arms. You can sever his feet from his legs. You can rip his ears. You can rip his nose from the front of his face. You can poke his eyes. And you can take out his skull and use it as a soccer ball. And then you can make keema out of his flesh and give it as feed to the dogs. O Muslims of Warsaw, you are Muslims. And inshallah, you will remain as Muslims. Inshallah, you will die as Muslims. I am a Muslim. Inshallah. Remain and die as a Muslim. I am asking you today because I am puzzled, I am confused. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you can give the answer to my question. I ask, is this what a Muslim is? You answer, Maulvi kaise ulti seedhe baatein kar raha hai? Tera zehn kharab ho chuka hai, tu pagal ho chuka hai, bakwas kar raha hai, majnu ho chuka hai, makhboot al azhar ho chuka hai. Oh Maulvi, you have become insane. You are talking nonsense. You are talking rubbish. What is this jargon you are coming out with? Oh Maulvi, do you know what a Muslim is? This is not a Muslim. A Muslim is somebody with awe. A Muslim is somebody with respect. A Muslim is somebody with honor. Oh Maulvi, such is the value of a Muslim in the eyes of Allah, that every kafir that walks on the face of this earth from the beginning of time till the end of time, take all these kafir, these billions and trillions, place them in one pan of the balance and place one Muslim in the other pan of this balance. Oh Maulvi, this Muslim is so dear to Allah that this one believer with the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he will outweigh all these kuffar. Why? Because he is not the lowest of the low. He is the highest of the high. So sacred is his blood that the Almighty Allah has announced, وَمَنْ يَبْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاءُهُ
لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Go and kill him and you will see that your abode is hell forever and ever. The curse of Allah will descend upon you. The anger of Allah will descend upon you. And Allah will punish you like never before. Don't you know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ اِشْتَرُكُوا فِي دَمِ مُؤْمِنٍ أَكَبَّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي النَّارِ. If all the inhabitants of the heaven, if all the inhabitants of the dunya, if they got together and plotted against one Muslim, Allah, such is the value of a believer in the eyes of Allah, so sacred is his blood that Allah will not even look at them. He will throw them in the fire of hell, and on their forehead will be written, Anisul min rahmatillah, deprived from the mercy of Allah. This because the blood of a Muslim is sacred. This is the value of a Muslim in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I swear by the Almighty that I do not disagree with you, but I beg you, show me where this Muslim is. I look in Palestine and what do I see? I don't see the Muslim with respect. I don't see a Muslim with honor. I see an oppressed Muslim. I see a crying Muslim. I see a Muslim living 2 minutes from the Aqsa. He has no freedom of movement. The Aqsa belongs to him. The Masjid belongs to the Muslim. But he is deprived from entering the house of Allah and bowing down before the Almighty Allah. I see a Muslim that has been made homeless in his own home. I see children that are roaming the streets and being shot by the Israeli soldiers, and their mothers are looking for a Salahuddin. Their tears are flowing from their mother's eyes. They are looking for a Ghori. They are looking for a Ghaznavi. They are looking for Salahuddin. I look in Kashmir and I see their blood flowing in the river Jhelum. I look in Chechnya and I see our Muslim mothers behind bars, in prison, naked, raped by the Rusi, crying, O sons of the Ummah, agar tum hamari madad ke liye aa sakte, kam az kam tumhare andar itni ghairat nahi, kam az kam wo goli to bhej do taake hum unke kafir bachcho ko janm na de. O sons of the Ummah, if you cannot help us, then at least send the pill so that we do not give birth to their kafir children. I look in Albania and I look in Bosnia and I become speechless. I look in the so-called Muslim countries of Saudiya, of Urdun, of Al-Jazair, of Al-Maghrib. You can name them one by one. And I see Muslims behind bars. Why? Because they were adorning themselves with the Sunnah of Rasulullah. They were adorning themselves with the teachings of Rasulullah. They were adorning themselves with the teachings of the Quran. And because they were Muslims, in the real sense of the word Muslim, because of this they are in prison and they are behind bars. What are the Muslims that you talk about with respect and honor? You are talking about the Khairul Furun. You are talking about the good times. You are talking about the times of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are talking about the times of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar. You are talking about the times of Sayyidina Ali and Uthman. You are talking about the times of Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid. That is the time when the Muslims had respect. That is the time when the Muslims had honor. That is the time when the blood of a Muslim was sacred. Open the books of Ahadith and you will find it is the battle of Ajnadin. Dirar ibn al-Aswar has been captured by the kafir. He has been imprisoned by the kafir. The whole ummah feels the pain of Dirar ibn al-Aswar. Immediately, the sword of Allah himself, Khalid bin Walid, goes for rescue. He is making his way for the rescue when all of a sudden, a warrior who passes by like a flash of lightning. He passes by Khalid bin Walid. This warrior is totally covered from head to toe. The only thing visible is his eyes, his spear and his sword. He rushes past Khalid. He has no time to stop and talk to Khalid. He has one aim, one objective, one direction. Towards the enemy he goes. Khalid bin Walid cannot believe his eyes. The cry, Man hazal faris, wa ima Allah innahu la faris. Who is this warrior? I swear by the Almighty that this is definitely a warrior. My brothers, the warrior goes to towards the enemy. There is no fear, there is no hesitation. He attacks the enemy single-handed. Alone he goes through their lines and he comes out the other side with his sword covered in blood. In one attack he has sent many kafir to the fire of hell. My brothers, yet again for the second time he presents himself for martyrdom. He presents himself for death, and yet again through their lines he goes and comes out on the other side with his sword covered in blood. Yet again in the second attack he has sent many people to the fire of hell. My brothers, the Muslims cannot believe their eyes. Who is this? Warrior. They are amazed at his valor. They are amazed at his bravery. They are amazed at his courage. Khalid bin Walid cries, Man hazal faris? Who is the warrior? The warrior emerges, chased by the enemy. The warrior makes his way to the Muslims. The Muslims surround him. The Muslims cry, reveal yourself. Tell us who you are. What is your name? Silence is his answer. Yet again for the second time, the Muslims say, reveal yourself. Tell us who you are. What is your name? Yet again, the warrior remains silent. It is only when Khalid bin Walid insists that he reveal himself. My brothers, the warrior reveals reveals himself. The answer the world is waiting for. The answer the history recorded. The warrior says, Ya ayyuha al-amir, inni lam urid anka illa haya'an min, li'annaka amirun jalilun, wa ana min zawati al-khudur, wa banati al-sutur, ana khawla bintul azwar. The warrior answers, O Amir, I did not answer you because of out of shame, or because you are a great Amir. I am not from amongst the men. I am from amongst those that keep themselves covered from head to toe. I am a woman. I am Khawla bintul Azwar, and I have come today to save my brother, and I have come for the rescue of my brother. This was a woman, and we are men. This is the time when the Muslims had respect. This is the time when the blood of a Muslim was sacred. You are talking about the times of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Imam Qurtubi relates in his tarif, a Muslim has been taken prisoner. He is taken all the way to Constantinople. A Christian police slaps the Muslim. He cries out, بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ اللَّهِ يَا مُعَاوِيَا وُلِّيْتَ أُمُورَنَا فَضَيَّتَهَا. O Muawiyah, Allah will judge between you and I on the Day of Judgment. You are our Amir. We are in your charge. You are responsible for us. And today you neglect us. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is informed. Immediately he pays for the ransom. The Muslim is released. He asks the name of the Christian priest. Hundreds and thousands are spent. A plan is drawn up to capture this priest. Thousands of pounds are spent. This priest is tricked. He is captured. He is presented before Muawiyah. Muawiyah calls the Muslim. O Muslim, I have not neglected you. I have not neglected you. Slap him like he slapped you, and do not transgress. This is the time when the blood of a Muslim was sacred. You are talking about the time of Mu'tasim Billah. A Muslim woman from Amuriya has been imprisoned. She is slapped by a kafir. Yet again, she calls out, Wa Mu'tasima, O Mu'tasim, where are you? The kafir is mocking. The kafir is being sarcastic. La yaji'u al-Mu'tasim illa ala farasin ablak. Mu'tasim, oh yes, Mu'tasim will come to you. He'll come on a black and white horse and come to your rescue. He's not going to come in the land of the kafir. Mu'tasim is informed. Such was the value of Muslim blood, and so sacred was Muslim blood, that hundreds and thousands are spent. 18,000 black and white horses are purchased from every corner of the globe. Mu'tasim himself goes to rescue his sister. The kuffara defeated. This Muslim sister is rescued. This kafir is brought before her, and the words are flowing from the lips of Mu'tasim Billah. Shajituka ala farasin ablaq. O my sister, tell this kafir that Mu'tasim has come to your rescue on a black and white horse. This was the time when the Muslims had respect. A final example, you are talking about the times of Nuruddin Zangi. The Muslims of Dimyar have been surrounded by the kuffar. Such was the fikr Nuruddin had for the Muslims, that he is in a majlis where the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being recited. The hadith Musalsal bit Tabassum has been recited, and you will ask your ulama what this is. He is asked to smile so that the chain of this hadith is complete, so that this silsila is complete. He replies in anger, you are asking Nuruddin to smile. إِنِّي لَأَسْتَحِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَرَانِي مُبْتَصِمَا وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ مُحَاصِرُونَ بِالْفَرَنْجِ. I am ashamed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees Nuruddin smiling while the Muslims of Dimyar have been surrounded by the kafir. Immediately an army is sent for the rescue. Such was the fikr of Nuruddin that in the books of history it is related that while the Muslims of Dimyar had been surrounded, Nuruddin has been fasting. And he has fasted consecutively for 20 days. And he makes his iftar only on a glass of water. He has become so weak that he was on the point of death. It was his Imam Yahya who sees Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. O Yahya, give glad tidings to Nuruddin that the kuffar have left Dimyar. Yahya asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رُبَمَا لَا يُصَدِّقُنِي. What if Nuruddin doesn't believe me? Give me a sign which he will recognize, an alamat which he will recognize. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Yahya, tell him, the alamat is the night of Harim, when Nuruddin was in prostration, his face was covered with dust, and tears were rolling down his cheeks, and he was begging for Allah's mercy for the Muslims, and he was praying to Allah, Ya Rabbi, هَؤُلَاءِ أَبِيدُكْ. O Allah, these are your servants and your slaves. وَهُمْ أَعْدَاءُكْ. O Allah, they are your enemy. فَانْصُرْ أَوْلِيَاءَكَ لَا أَعْدَائِكْ. O Allah, I beg you, help your friends over your enemy. O Allah, do not deprive the Muslims because of Nuruddin. Who is Nuruddin the dog, that he may be worthy of your help? O Allah, help your deen and help the Muslims over the non-Muslims. This was the time when the Muslims had respect. This was the time when the Muslims lived with honor. This was the time when the blood of a Muslim was of value. And today, what do our leaders do? Never mind our leaders, what do you and I do? How do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was feeling with what is happening to the Ummah? The very Nabi who couldn't even tolerate a thorn picking a cat, an animal. How do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel with the way his ummatis are being slaughtered like sheep? The very Nabi, all from the hadith of Muslim, the tribe of mother come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are suffering from starvation. Their feet are barefooted. They are naked. Only their satr is covered. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَتَمَعَرَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The color of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face changes. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes pale. And immediately, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't tolerate this. That he gives a special khutbah to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, asking them to help their Muslim brothers. The very Nabi, that when the Muslims of Medina, the hadith in Muslim, when the Muslims of Medina are alarmed by a loud noise outside Medina Sul Munawwara, such was the fikr that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself in the darkness of the night goes to see the cause of this noise, and he comes, returns, comforting the Muslims, lam tura'u, lam tura'u, that you have nothing to worry about. How do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel with what is happening to the Muslims worldwide, what is happening to our mothers, what is happening to our sisters, and what is happening to our brothers? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-mu'minuna ka rajulin wahidin, in ishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kulluh, wa in ishtaka ra'suhu ishtaka kulluh. That the entire Muslim ummah, wherever they may be, are like one single body forming one brotherhood. If any one limb of this body is in pain, then the entire body will feel this pain due to this aching and paining limb. Meaning, that if any one Muslim is in pain, in taklif, is being oppressed, is being suppressed, then all the Muslims, including the Muslims of Warsaw, will feel this pain. Never mind one Muslim. At this moment in time, as I address you and you listen to the reminder, millions of Muslims worldwide are suffering. 1 million Muslim children lost their lives in Iraq. And now children that are being born in Iraq because of the depleted uranium, there are so much deformities that this Muslim child that is being born, you cannot tell whether this child is a human being. And you and I, we don't feel the pain. We just don't feel the pain. Our hearts have become like stone. Nothing will enter. It is so sad that tears will roll down our cheeks when our favourite football team loses the FA Cup, or is knocked out in a vital Premiership game, or is knocked out in the Champions League. And we will pray for our favourite cricket team that Allah make it so that Pakistan wins the World Cup. It so happened that in many massages they made Elan so that Pakistan wins the cricket cup. But when we are told that a calamity has befallen the Muslims of Chechnya, a calamity has befallen the Muslims of Kashmir, the Muslims of Iraq, the Muslims of Palestine, we feel nothing. We are untouched. Not concerned whatsoever. Intoxicated with our desires. As long as we've got a mobile phone and somebody calls us and we feel good inside. As long as we've got the shaitan in our houses, the television. This is all we're concerned about. And some of us brothers that are known as, that we've become holy, when you start talking about these things, they'll say, Mustafa, don't talk about this, they're going to arrest you. Don't talk about this. Talk about other things. This is irrelevant. We fear the kafir more than we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fear the kafir so much that we will not even pray for our Muslim brothers, fearing that the kafir is listening in to our lectures. Yet, have you forgotten the time when the Muslims didn't even fear death? These were the words of Umar. Allahumma arzuqni shahadatan fi sabili waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik. Oh Allah, give me shahadat, and Allah, make my death in the city of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the words of Abdullah ibn Jahsh. Allahumma inni uqsim an alka al-aduwa ghadan fayaqtuluni thumma yabquru batni wa yajdaw anfi wa uzuni thumma tas'ulani bima zaak fa aqulu fika ya Allah. Oh Allah, I give you qasam and I beg you that I meet the enemy tomorrow. And I fight with the enemy. The enemy overcomes me. He kills me. He mutilates my body. He cuts my stomach and he takes out my intestines. He rips my ears and my nose. And then I meet you in this condition on the day of judgment, Allah, and you ask me with regards to this, and I answer, oh Allah, this was for you, this was for your cause, and this was for your sake. Sayyidina Nadr radiallahu ta'ala happens to see Sayyidina Umar and Talha in a group of Sahaba bewildered. He says, oh my Sahaba, why is it that I see you so bewildered? Sayyidina Umar replies, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more. When the false rumor spread in Uhud, he says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more. Sayyidina Nadr says, O Umar, then who wants to live after our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Come and let us go into Jannah and join Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Saying this, he plunges into the line and he goes to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Khaisama says to his son, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling the Sahaba for the Battle of Badr, oh my son, one of us will have to stay with the family, with the women of our house. Let me go to Badr and you stay with the women of our family. The child replies, وَبَا لَوْ كَانَ غَيْرَ الْجَنَّةِ آثَرْتُكَ بِهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُ الشَّهَادَ فِي وَجْهِ هَذَا وَبَا, if you had asked for anything other than Jannah, then I would have given you preference over it, but I cannot give you preference over Jannah. I also want to be martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying this, he goes into the bustle and he is no more. There was no such thing as fear of death. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is blind, he is in the battlefield, and he is saying to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala al majma'in, oh my dear companions, give me the flood. Abdullah ibn Umm, and place me in between the two armies. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum will not run. Sayyidina, the uncle of Anas ibn Malik, Anas ibn Nadr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He had so much regret that he did not participate in the Battle of Uhud, or in the Battle of Badr, that now it is the Battle of Uhud. The Muslims have dispersed. He alone is going towards the enemy. He is met by Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Sa'd says, oh Anas, where are you going? You will be martyred. You have no chance. You are alone. He replies, Ya Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, wa Rabbi al-Nadr al-Jannah ajidu rihaha min duni Uhud. I swear by the Lord of Anas, O Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, I can smell the fragrance of Jannah coming from Uhud. There was no such thing as fear of death. No such thing as fear of death. It is because of this, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the battle of Qadisiyah, when the Kuffar were many times more than the Muslims, he sends a message to Rustam, and this is what the message reads. O Rustam, فَإِنَّ مَعِي قَوْمًا يُحِبُّونَ الْمَوْتِ كَمَا يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِمُ الْخَمَرِ. O Rustam, there are people with me to whom dying in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more desirable than wine is to your army. And today you and I are afraid just to pray for our Muslim brothers. And now the kafir has his eye on the Haramain. Big wow, the Haramain. Who gives a damn? Who gives a jot? He's got his eyes on the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not concerned. He's got his eyes on the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're not concerned. I can still remember the tears in the guide's eyes that took us around Masjid Ibrahim al-Khalil. And these were his words. He said, oh my brother, never in history has a masjid become a synagogue. I fear that this Masjid Ibrahim al-Khalil, which half of which they've already taken, may be the first masjid that becomes a synagogue. He said, my brother, there is not a single sin the Israeli doesn't commit inside this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Big wow. And the Aqsa, what is the Aqsa? Ask the kid today and he'll name every player in United's lineup, even the reserve. But he doesn't even know what the Aqsa is. We don't even know that this is the very place which the Almighty Allah has mentioned in the Quran, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. The very place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed. The very place in which Allah accepted the repentance of Sayyidina Sulaiman and Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. The very place in which Allah made the mountains and birds subservient to Dawood, they would glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. It is the very place in which Allah returned the kingdom of Sulaiman back to Sulaiman. It is the very place in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the glad tidings of Yahya to Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam. The very place in which Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was born. The very place in which he spoke in the cradle, in the Abdullah, Athani al-Kitaba wa ja'alani nabiya. The very place.